Morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, verse 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and great multitudes gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And others fell upon the rocky places, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted. For whoever has, to him shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in their case the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, You will keep on hearing, but will not understand, and you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart in return, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, because they see, and your ears, because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom a seed was sown on the rocky places, this is a man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is a man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is a man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit, brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this morning. I just pray that you would come and speak to us, and we just ask that we would be able to connect with you this morning as we pray and worship and hear your word. So we thank you, Holy Spirit. We give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this is a very famous parable that Jesus is teaching, the parable of the sower. And we've all probably heard it many, many times growing up. And so we'll just quickly look at the parable. But right before we get into the parable, the explanation of the parable, Jesus says something very interesting. Because the disciples come to him and basically they ask him, you know, Jesus, why are you teaching these people in parables? And Jesus, he quotes a passage from Isaiah. And when Isaiah was... When God spoke this to Isaiah, it was more of a rebuke, right, for the people of Israel, for their unbelief and for their unrepentant heart and for their disobedience. And it's interesting what it says in verse 15, right, of this passage. It says, For the heart of this people has become dull. And that is the reason why they can hear these parables and they see what Jesus is doing, but it has no impact on them. And just a reminder that we need to make sure that our heart does not become dull. You know, however our heart becomes dull, I think it's different for a lot of people. Some of us, it might be we just get too involved, you know, we get too attached to other things, like, you know, things like movies. You know, like if we don't spend time in the Word of God, if we don't spend time with God, and we just spend our time playing video games or watching movies or just focused on work even, our hearts will become dull. And we need to guard against our heart becoming dull to the things of God, to the voice of God, so that we can stay sensitive and stay humble and hungry to hear from the Lord. And for these people, I think it was really disobedience to the word of God and their unrepentant heart that made their heart become dull. And there's a passage, I forget, I think it's in Hebrews, that talk about sin and how if you keep on sinning, you become more and more dull. You become, your heart becomes more and more hardened. And as our heart gets hardened, it's harder to hear from the Lord. And it, as because of that, then we're going to sin more. It's just a downward spiral, right? And so we need to guard ourselves against our heart becoming dull and ask the Lord, you know, what is it that causes my heart to become dull? And how can we stay away from that? And how can we stay sensitive and alert to what God is saying to us? Because it's really a rebuke, right? Their heart has become dull, and that's why they hear, but they don't understand, and they see, but they don't perceive. And if they would just return, you know, if they heard and understood and returned to me, then I would heal them. But their heart has become dull, and they're not doing it. But Jesus says to the disciples, blessed are your eyes and your ears, because you see and you hear. And then Jesus goes on to explain the parable. And we've all heard it many times, but let's go through and see if we can understand better. It says, hear then the parable of the sower. Where anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. So the first kind of category that Jesus puts people in that hear the word of the kingdom. And the word of the kingdom, I don't think it's necessarily the gospel, as in the salvation message. It's anything that God speaks to us. In Luke, it will say the word of God, right? So anything, any teaching, any revelation that God gives to us could be a word of the kingdom, a word of God. And when it comes, it says that person does not understand it. And if you don't understand it, then it has no place in your heart, and the devil just comes and snatches it away. So the first thing is lack of understanding, right? You hear something, you feel like God's speaking to you, but you just don't understand it. And so what is, like, how can you overcome it, you know? So how can we make sure that when God speaks to us, we understand? I think it's just very simply, we just ask the Lord for understanding, just as the disciples did. You know, when the disciples didn't understand something, they went to Jesus and asked, you know, what does this mean? Even with this parable, they're asking Jesus to explain what the parable means. And I think simply us coming to him, instead of, like, say you're reading the Bible and you don't understand something, you're like, eh, you just move on. A lot of times we do. We're like, I don't understand this one. Let's move on to something I understand, you know, something easier. I think God's really inviting us to say, hey, seek it out, you know, find out. There's a passage, I should know the reference, it's in Proverbs somewhere. It says, it is the glory of God to hide a matter, but it's the glory of a king to search it out. You know, God, I think God's inviting us when we don't understand it to say, God, what does this mean? And to seek it. And to pray and ask for revelation. It says in James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verse 5, I'll just read it to you. It says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Right? It's a promise from James, from God, saying, if you need wisdom, just ask, and it'll be given to you generously, without reproach. And so it's an invitation. If you don't understand it, God, what are you saying here? You know, what are you trying to tell me? Let's ask the Lord and search it out instead of just kind of ignoring it maybe or just giving up on it. That's the first one who does not understand. Second one is the one, verse 20, and the one on whom seed was sown on rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. So in this category of people, they receive it with joy. They receive it quickly. They understand it. And they receive the word of God, but there is no firm root in themselves, and hard things, difficult times come, and they fall away. So I was wondering, you know, well then how do we get firm root in ourselves? You know, because I don't want to be like this person either, right? I don't want to be a person that has no firm root. So when persecution comes, I fall away. And I was just kind of meditating and seeking the Lord. And if we turn to, well, you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. James chapter 1. Again, James chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, 2 to 4. It says this. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I think, how do we get firm root? Through trials and difficult times, through persecution, and through affliction. I think that's how we grow a firm root. And if we would just stay with God and not give up and not fall away when affliction comes, when persecution comes, when trials and tribulation comes, if we stick with the Lord and stay faithful, that's how we build endurance, and that's how we build maturity, right? This passage in James is interesting. It says, consider it all joy. Another version will say, consider it pure joy when you face various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And I like that term, testing of our faith. You know, because our faith, you know, we have faith in God that He is a good God. We have faith in God that He, you know, He loves us and He is for us, not against us. All those things we believe because it's in the Word of God. But these things get tested. You know, our faith will get tested when we experience a hard time. Then we're like, God, I thought you were good. You know, I thought you loved me. I thought you were for me, not against me. How come I'm experiencing this difficult trial and difficult time and persecution and affliction? And these things, I believe, is a testing of our faith. You know, because our faith is on what the Word of God says. You know, God wants to heal us. God wants to prosper us. And we don't get healed. We don't prosper. And then our faith gets tested. But James says the testing of our faith produces maturity, right? And maturity must complete its work because it produces, so that we may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing, right? So when we get tested, if we stay faithful to God, that's how we learn to be mature. And the testing of our faith, once we get tested in an area, as we overcome, we get stronger, right? So that we have more, conviction or more faith when a similar struggle comes our way, when a similar trial comes our way. And so here, when we're talking about someone that has no firm root, I think, how do we get firm root? Through persecution, through affliction. If we stay faithful to God and we consider it pure joy, because we know that it's just a test, and once we pass it, we're going to be more mature, we're going to be more complete, and not lacking in anything, then we would, go deeper, right? Build firm root in ourselves. And the third one, verse 22, the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is a man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So this third one is someone who hears the word. Maybe he receives it. It doesn't say that he received it, but really the word has no power because this person is too preoccupied with the things of this world, right? Material things. And if we look in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Jesus is saying this, and he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Right? Beware, because even if you have a lot of things, that is not what your life is about. Possessions. And I think that's the deceitfulness of riches. Because if we don't have anything, possessions don't have a lot of power over us, because we're like, well, we don't have anything anyway, you know? Let me just... There's nothing that holds us. But once we start accumulating wealth, you know, once we start having stuff, and, you know, once you get an iPhone, you know, you get attached to it, you know? Because, you know, when I didn't have an iPhone, I didn't care what kind of phone I had. Now that I have an iPhone, I'm like, ooh, I want the iPhone 4. You know, like, these things become, it's so subtle, but so easily we can get sidetracked by the things of this world, like material things. And Jesus warns us and says, even when you have a lot of things, your life is not about material things. And we need to guard ourselves against the deceitfulness of riches, you know, and worry of this world. And worry of this world really, again, is material worries. Like, what are we going to, you know, how can I, you know, what kind of clothes should I buy? Or what kind of phone should I get? What kind of car should I buy? Not that, I mean, those things are good, right? God wants to bless us with material things. God wants to prosper us, and he wants to bless us with these things. But we need to watch out that it doesn't get a hold, it doesn't choke us. You know, I like that term. It's such a cool mental picture, right? Choking us from bearing any fruit. And these things can so easily choke us out of any fruitfulness, out of any effectiveness in the kingdom. And just a warning, I guess, from Jesus to watch out and don't let the deceitfulness get to us. And the last one, obviously, is the one that hears a word and bears fruit 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. And this is where we all want to be, right? This, and I think Jesus, when he was talking to these people, he was saying, I think the fruit that he was referring to is repentance. Because he's kind of a rebuking kind of thing, you know, to the people that hear but don't have a change of heart, right? That they just stay away from God. I think he's really saying, you know, when you hear the word of the kingdom, when you hear a conviction from God, a revelation from the Lord, repent and obey, you know? If you understand what I'm saying to you, we need to obey and we need to repent. And that's kind of the fruit. Or once we do that, the word will bear fruit in our lives. And we also know the passage in John 15, right? He is the vine, we are the branches. And if we abide in Jesus, that's how we're going to bear fruit. And so, I know, simple parable, but maybe it's just a good reminder from God to us of what he desires for us. And really, he desires us that we would bear fruit. You know, when God speaks to us, as we get revelation from him, he wants us to walk in obedience, in repentance, and abide in him so that we may bear fruit for the kingdom of God. It could be evangelizing. It doesn't have to be conversions of people, right? Just you walking in obedience and blessing people and blessing God with what you're doing. So let's meditate upon, I guess, the four groups of people and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and show us if we fall into any other categories, and pray that we will be one that bears fruit. And Sam's going to lead us in time of worship.
Thank you.
Let's pray together for our church. Let's pray that SP and all the members of our church will be one that bears fruit. You know, it could be our lack of understanding. It could be affliction or persecution. It could be worry and the deception of riches that keep our church members, you know, from really bearing fruit, or keep us from bearing fruit. So let's pray for ourselves and pray for our church members that we would be one that hears from God and obeys and walks in repentance so that we may bear fruit with what God has revealed to us. So let's pray together for our church. Let's pray together for the intercessory prayer team. Let's pray for GA, who's the leader of the team, of the ministry, and for everyone else that's in the ministry. Let's pray that God would really bless them and speak to them, and they would be able to really hear from God clearly, to pray effectively, and to pray what's on His heart. And let's also pray, you know, just for protection over them as they, you know, battle in the spiritual realm. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of attack, and there's a lot of, you know, the devil doesn't like the intercessory prayer team, right? So let's pray God's protection over them, and just for real strength and encouragement in their heart as well. So let's just pray for the intercessory prayer team. Let's pray for our missions focus. Let's pray for China. Let's pray for the Chong family, Jane and John. And let's continue to lift up John's father, that God would heal him and be with him. Let's pray for the Fujian and the Henan orphanage. Let's pray for God's grace upon them and His love. Let's also lift up the orphanage in Chichihar that Pastor Sam Kim is connected with. Let's pray for, there's five kids there, I think, that are orphans. Let's pray for them, that God would really bless them and love them. And also my parents who are in China doing ministry with the Unreached People Group. Just for God's favor and God's anointing upon my dad. And also, if you could lift up Steve and Janine Basaraba. Some of us might know them. They used to be in our church for about 2 years, and they are in China. They're not directly doing missions. They're teaching, but their heart is to really reach out to the Chinese people. So let's pray for them, the Basarabas. Let's pray for China. Lastly, let's pray for the building search or our church move. Let's pray that God would grant us favor with the government and that our fundraising committee will have a lot of great ideas and that we will be able to raise all the money that we need, and that our church in this season would really stay faithful to God and obedient to God. So let's cover our church for this time. Thank you, Lord, for this day, this morning, and help us to be, men and women that hear your word and bear fruit in our lives. Help us to abide in you, Lord Jesus, today, in everything that we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, that we would glorify you and we would remember that you are with us. And that there is a greater purpose to our lives, God, than just working, just doing the things, just earning money. So help us to abide in you today, Lord Jesus. Would you speak to us, God, throughout the day and remind us that you are with us. And so thank you, Lord. Watch over us. I just pray your blessing, your protection, your love, your peace over everyone that's here, God. Just pray your protection over them from any attacks of the enemy, God. We put on the full armor of God this morning, and we get ready, Father, for warfare. And thank you, God. We love you this morning. We want to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.